for he had judged the great harlot, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And their smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Surely the Lord will bless to us the reading of that chapter. This chapter is a wonderful chapter. It tells us concerning the return of the Lord to this earth. It gives the account of the manner of the Lord's personal coming and his direct intervention in the affairs of this earth. This will be the time when he shall come in power and glory, and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. Now the first 10 verses of this chapter can well be termed the chorus of hallelujahs. I'm sure you've all heard of that great hallelujah chorus in Handel's Messiah. Well, here is the chorus of hallelujahs. But from verse 11 to verse 16, we're viewing there the conqueror on the horse. In verses 17 through 21, the condemnation of the rebellious hosts. Look now at the chorus of hallelujahs. 4 times we have the word hallelujah. There is the hallelujah of redemption that is found in verse 1 and 2. But now, if you were to go back to chapter 18, there's a very interesting verse there that links over, I believe, into this chapter. In chapter 18 and verse 20, we have these words, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Then when we come to chapter 19, "After these things I heard the great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah." Now note the things that follow that first hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Here I suggest to you then is the hallelujah of redemption. It has to do with salvation. That means deliverance. I remind you that the first great song in the Bible that was raised in praise to the Lord for what he had done is found away back in the book of Exodus in chapter 15. When the children of Israel were delivered out from Egypt's bondage, that is, they were brought out of Egypt's land, and they were delivered out from under Pharaoh's hand. And when they stood on the redemption side of the Red Sea, when God had brought them safely through and had overthrown their enemies, then they sang their song unto the Lord as to what the Lord had done. For them it was deliverance, that is, salvation. For you will remember, the word given to them from the Lord through Moses was this: stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord moved and provided the way of deliverance for them. That was their salvation from Egypt's bondage. But here in this verse, it's not only salvation, but it's glory. Now, may I suggest, perhaps along with others, that if you go into the matter here, it's the glory, it's the moral glory in judgment. A lot of people don't like to think of God as a God of judgment. They only contemplate him as a God of love and a God of mercy. Well, he is that. But he's also a righteous God and a God of judgment. And so therefore, it's salvation and glory and honor and power. Here is the moral glory of God in judgment, and the people are shouting, hallelujah. Power, that is his might displayed in the execution of his judgment. So not only has God the power and the authority to judge, but he has the power to carry his judgment into effect. And here they're shouting, hallelujah. There was a time, even in my lifetime, when it was a common thing to hear people say hallelujah at meetings. That is, if the preacher said something that touched their heart, something with which they agreed, they would shout amen, hallelujah. But I haven't heard those hallelujahs for a long time. But as I think back on it, most people who shouted hallelujah, they would shout that great word, praise the Lord, hallelujah, when something was said concerning the grace of God, concerning some of the good things that God did, and some of the things he provided for his own, and some of the promises he had made, and people being touched with these things would shout hallelujah. But you know, I cannot remember people saying hallelujah if the preacher was dealing with the coming day of judgment, or if he was telling that God would have to judge the sinner, and if he spoke of the penalty of eternal punishment. They seldom said hallelujah to that. But here they're shouting hallelujah. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great harlot which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. They are shouting, Hallelujah. Then verse 3 gives us our second Hallelujah. And again they said, Hallelujah, for her smoke rose up forever and ever. If the first Hallelujah suggests the Hallelujah of redemption, the Hallelujah in verse 3 suggests the Hallelujah of retribution. You see, the harlot has reigned, as it were, making herself like a queen. She has corrupted the nations. She has become the mother of harlots. But the time has come, and God now turns his attention to her. In this sense, he brings her retribution upon her, and it's forever and ever. It's not simply judgment for a day, and it's not annihilation either. And yet those in heaven are shouting Hallelujah, because the great harlot has now been judged. It's the judgment of retribution for her sins, for her fornication, for her wickedness. Verse 4, as another Hallelujah, I suggest here we have the Hallelujah of recognition. It says, and the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. The Amen, as most of you know, means even so. I agree. It's an expression of agreement. Amen. Let it be so. Even so. Amen. Hallelujah. That is, praise the Lord for what he has done. But notice now, it's the Hallelujah of recognition. First of all, there is the 24 elders. I think we did agree when we were first introduced to those 24 elders that they were representative of a greater number. And so therefore we suggested they were representative of the redeemed church. And if they are, we have those representative people here, 24 elders, with the 4 living creatures suggesting all the areas of creation. And they're all bowing down now, and they're worshipping God that sat on the throne, and they're saying, Amen, Hallelujah. If people will not agree on this earth that God has a right to do what he wills, they'll have to agree then. When they get to the glory, they'll have to agree then that God has the right to do as he desires. He's working all things after the counsel of his own will. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures are falling down and they're worshipping God that sat on the throne. And after all that scriptural, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then, before we come to the 4th Hallelujah, which I suggest is a Hallelujah of renown, which comes in verse 6, but we're introduced to that from verse 5. The voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. There's the voice of many waters. There's the voice of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It's the Hallelujah of renown. And notice who is introduced here in connection with this Hallelujah. It's the voice of a great multitude. Now you remember we were introduced to a great multitude in chapter 7. Remember, there was there 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And then with a great multitude from amongst the nations. These were they that would either be martyred or would come through the great tribulation. And here we're introduced again to this great multitude. And they're saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth down on earth. There had been the great harlot. We thought she was reigning as a queen. she thought she had control. And then, of course, there was the beast and the false prophet. They thought they were reigning. They thought they had everything under their control. But now this great crowd are shouting, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, as it were, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now notice, God reigns. See, God is still on the throne. God has never been dethroned. Men sometimes act as if there was no God. What they're actually saying is, no God for me. And they're seeking to live their lives without God. And they've got neither God nor Christ, and they've got no hope. But then God reigneth, and he is being acknowledged here. It's the hallelujah of renown. And then he says, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. If God reigns, then the Lamb is respected. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. You know, at a marriage, there's always respect shown to the bridegroom. And here is the Lamb now being respected. There was a time when the Lamb was led in silence to the slaughter. Like a lamb led to the slaughter. Like a sheep before her shearers, he was dumb. He was the Lamb provided by God. He was the Lamb rejected by men, placed on a cruel Roman cross, the Lamb who died. But here, in the glory now, when you come to Revelation 19, the Lamb is respected. And they're saying, now let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come.